As a listener to the Beef Watch podcast, we would really appreciate your feedback on the content we provide. By going to go.unl.edu/podcast and completing a 5-question survey, you will help us know what has been beneficial to you and also what you would like to listen to more of. Again, that's go.unl.edu/podcast, or you can also go to the beef.unl.edu website and you'll find the survey there. Thanks for being a listener to the Beef Watch podcast. We really look forward to getting your feedback. Welcome to the Beef Watch podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the October issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Managing Annual Forages After Frost. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by the author, Ben Beckman, who's a Nebraska Extension educator based in Cedar County, focused on forages and grazing systems. Thanks for joining me today, Ben.
Happy to be here, Aaron.
Well, Ben, as we record this podcast, we're sitting here in early October, and oftentimes we've had frost already across many parts of the state, but this is kind of a unique year. I think we haven't had much yet, and so we're a little bit ahead of this as we record the podcast today. Share with us some things we need to remember and pay attention to if we've got annual forages, especially if we're grazing those and the risk frost can present.
Sure, Aaron. And yeah, this is a bit of an unusual year. We usually try to put this reminder out and just get folks thinking about the risk that we can have with our annual forages and temperature fluctuations. And it's sitting close to 90 degrees here for me today. So not usually what we're thinking of in the beginning part of October, but when temperatures do start to make their march towards closer to winter temperatures, you know, our annual forages have some risks that come with them, and we need to be aware of that. And knowing them can help us make sure that we're making proper management decisions. And so the biggest one that we always talk about when we've got frost risk that comes up is prussic acid. Prussic acid is kind of a cyanide compound. It's present in all sorghum species. And so whatever type of sorghum that you might be having, whether that's a sorghum sedan hybrid, a forage sorghum, grain sorghums, sedan grass is in the sorghum family, all of them have a risk of prussic acid causing problems to our animals. And basically, if you graze them, you're probably already aware of this because prussic acid is highly concentrated in the new shoots. And so we kind of have to make sure that we've got a certain amount of height before we turn animals out onto a field where we're grazing something like a sorghum sedan or a sedan grass. And so when we have a frost that comes in, it basically freezes those cells, the ice crystals puncture the cell walls, and they release and make all of this prussic acid, this cyanide compound, highly mobile. And so it can overwhelm the animal basically if they're grazing shortly afterwards. So any time that we have a risk of a frost and part of the plant's getting damaged, we've got this risk again for prussic acid poisoning. It's going to be the highest in our true sorghum varieties. So grain sorghum, forage sorghum are our highest risk. Sorghum sedan hybrids are somewhere there in the middle. And then our sedan grasses are of lowest risk, but they still have risk to them. And what we kind of need to do is think of it as kind of a timer gets set every time that we have frost event occur where the plant gets damaged. We've got about 5 days after that we need to give that prussic acid time to dissipate off. It turns into a gas and dissipates out of the plant. So every time that we've got damage to the plant, 5 days after that, we need to be aware that we're at pretty high risk for prussic acid poisoning. And so if we've got a frost and then 3 days later, we have another frost and another part of the plant gets killed, we got to restart that again. Unfortunately, if we can make grazing in this fall period, if we've got some staggering frosts that don't totally kill a plant fully, it can make it kind of difficult to time that out. But keeping aware of that is something that's going to help us minimize that risk. And then with the temperatures that we've got this year, and especially, you know, we've got some good moisture in a lot of parts of the state. If we do have regrowth, then we've got a really potentially dangerous situation. Because as I mentioned before, those new shoots are of the highest concentration of prussic acid. If we get frost on those, then we can, you know, really run into some issues pretty fast. So if you do see, the plant gets killed off because we get some frost, and then there's some warm weather, and we get some new shoots that can come out sometimes from a lot of our sorghum species and forage sorghums. Those new shoots can be really dangerous if we have a frost on those, and so we really want to be respecting that window of pulling off for at least 5 days before we go out there and regraze that plant again.
You mentioned this earlier, but let's circle back to it. Let's talk about nitrates and the risk that presents with a freeze.
Yeah, so prussic acid is something that's specific to sorghums. Nitrates are something that's going to be a little bit broader. Our sedan grasses, sorghum sedans, but even our millets and a lot of times our small grain species are really good nitrogen scavengers, and so they can be really high in nitrate sometimes and cause some nitrate risk. And for those, it's basically, plants want to uptake those nitrates, and if we've got cooler temperatures, if we've got frost events coming in that don't fully kill the plant, they're still wanting to grow, and so they're uptaking those nitrates, but they don't have anywhere to go with them because the plant doesn't have enough, daylight, the temperatures aren't right for whatever reason, it's not able to actually utilize those. And that's the same reason that we have nitrate issues during drought. There's not enough moisture for the plant to use them. And this can happen in the cool parts of the year as well. And so those nitrates can accumulate. Nice thing about nitrates is that they're usually on the lower portion of the plant. And so, if we're doing a hay cutting or something like that, we can cut a little bit high and leave a lot of the nitrate there. We can test those bales or whatever we're doing for harvesting it, and see where we're sitting at and utilize that. From a grazing standpoint, we want to keep an eye on it, but we can kind of step animals up. Mary Jurowski has a really nice article if you search in our Beef Watch archives about adapting animals to high nitrate diets, basically giving them some extra energy through some grain supplementation and kind of stepping them up to it, that rumen can get used to high nitrate diets, and we can graze situations where we might have a little bit higher risk safely. But it is something, again, that we just want to be aware of, that we can have some risk around, especially again if temperatures get cool and stay cool, but it doesn't get to the point where we can actually kill off those plants. That's when we're going to see, especially in the fall, that risk of nitrate poisoning.
Let's shift gears here and now talk about another issue, avoiding bloat as we think about grazing around frost events. What are some types of forages that can trigger a bloat event when we have a frost?
Yeah, and so this is one that we probably, nitrates and prussic acid are the two that we really think about a lot of times when we think about risks during frost events. But I think bloat's one that we should throw up there as well. And it's basically when we have high quality forages, which we might, this year we've got rain, we've had a really good summer so far across a lot of the state. When those cell walls rupture, again, because the ice crystals, as they freeze, those ice crystals puncture holes in the cell wall, that makes digestion a lot easier. And so we can have a lot of nutrients as that animal eats it, especially if we're turning out into a lush pasture early in the morning. That frost is on there, so we've got a lot of moisture, on the plant that they're consuming as well. And all of those nutrients get into the rumen and they're all released at once. And that's when we can run into some bloat issues, basically, that we've got way too high quality of a diet going in there. And we really want to watch, like I said, some of our typical species that have bloat risk with them, a lot of our legume species. So if we've got a pasture with some alfalfa in it, some clover, things like that, those are going to be especially of high risk because they've got a little bit of risk already, and then we throw this additional factor into it. So if we've got any sort of mixed pasture with some legumes and grasses especially, that's something that we probably want to pull off of. Try not to be out there early in the morning when we've got a lot of dew, when we've got an immediate frost. Let that kind of dry off a little bit if we can, or even pull off for a little while until things dry out and we don't have quite as high quality and quite as wet, I guess, forage available for grazing. That's going to help us with bloat risk. And if we really want to be safe, we can throw a bloat block or something like that out as well.
Ben, what are other final thoughts you'd have as we point towards wrapping up on this topic?
Aaron, this is just something we deal with every year. Something to just keep in the back of our mind as we get to this time of the season where we start to have some frost risk. One thing that I didn't throw out there with the prussic acid that have as one benefit is because it does off gas. If we're doing any haying or something like that for our sorghum species, we don't have to worry about prussic acid risk at all for that. We don't have to worry about bloat risk because it's going to dry out. We do have to worry about nitrates still. So just knowing the risk factors, how it fits into how we want to utilize these forages is important. And then making sure that you know what you have out there too. There's a lot of cover crop mixtures, a lot of novel, I would say, on that side of cover crops, folks trying new things out. And sometimes you're not aware of all the different species in some of these high species mixtures. And so knowing what you have out there can be important as well. Maybe you didn't think you had a sorghum species and you actually do. That might affect how we want to approach grazing it this fall.
Ben, thanks for your time today and for putting this article together.
Always happy to chat, Aaron.
Well, for more information on the topic that we discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find more information at beef.unl.edu. Specifically, this article is titled Managing Annual Forages After Frost.